That is, we're gonna wait for everybody to file in here
Bum,
before we
bum, bum,
get
bum, bum,
moving
bum.
in earnest.
Yeah, Ryan, I
I
didn't even see he was a listener. It's
Cool.
doing the thing it did
Awesome.
last year.
We're doing so well. We're having so much fun.
We are
I'm learning a whole
over
lot.
1,500 listeners.
1,492.
That is correct.
Scott Frost,
Hello,
we brought you
everyone.
a smallpox
And
blanket.
soon we'll be gaining one once Ryan is able to join.
Once Ryan's able to hop on here.
It says I'm in it, but it won't let me request a speaking role, so.
This is the shit it pulled last season. We made it all the way to week two.
I've been fired.
We're waiting to get Ryan on here, because, of course, we can hear him, and he sounds wonderful.
Go on without me!
The funniest part is, right before the call, we actually did the most orchestrated shit we've done in months. We were like, okay,
yeah.
you say this, and then you
Fair
say
enough.
That. And, like, that was the entire plan for the
yeah,
show.
This is our fault.
But the plan relied on Ryan. Ryan had a role to play in that plan. That's what we get for planning two sentences.
Once again, I would like to point out that this is Twitter fucking up, and not us.
No, not us. For once, it's not our fault.
It just won't let us invite Ryan. We can't see Ryan. He's invisible.
It also won't let me leave.
Oh, that's amazing. Okay, listen, if you're out there, I promise, once you hear the full version of this podcast, it's going to be really funny, because we can hear Ryan right now, but you can't. He's talking shit about all of you.
This is
yeah, y'all just,
stupidest.
Yeah, he's saying the meanest and funniest things. God, you could only hear it.
I'm gonna scream.
Ryan,
I'm gonna scream.
Well, go ahead and scream. They can't hear you.
That's true. Hold on.
Ryan, are you sure you're in Twitter? Are you looking at LinkedIn?
Oh, you
by
know
chance?
What? I am looking at LinkedIn. Sorry.
Yeah, that did it.
Are you on Facebook again, Ryan?
You know, I just love that grind.
Love that grind. Hashtag grind. Hashtag grind set.
I'm gonna restart my entire fucking phone.
I love you, buddy.
That's
Ryan Green Bubbles nannies causing the problem again.
It's just
the guy who breaks the group chat with his
Ryan,
little green bubbles.
Right. Oh man.
Did you hear what Tim Cook said to that dude? That dude works at Vox Media and I know him. And I think it's hilarious that Tim Cook said, "Hey, you poor
We're
bastard.
Having a conversation with Ryan that none of you can hear.
Buy your mom an iPhone." When the real baller move would have been like, here, take my old one. I don't even fucking want it anymore.
Wow.
Oh,
no, you should have
you're
given
gonna
her,
hear.
What's that one? The 4S, the one that's good?
Nice.
Hold on. I know you may not be able to hear Ryan, but here's what you're about to hear, all right? Yeah, buddy.
Oh, is that a cold one? Is that a cold one?
Is that a Coors Light?
This is a cold one.
Are guys being dudes right now?
Oh.
Sounds great.
On the program.
Don't I make a delightfully seductive sound when I'm drinking a cold one?
We are over 2,000 without
without Ryan. We're over
without starting
2,000
the
right
show.
I think
Ryan.
This proves that I'm not necessary.
No,
nonsense.
Right
buddy.
Now,
not bullshit.
Yeah, I will.
Hold on.
Ryan
Hold
is
on.
Currently starting his leper of a phone. His absolute
green bubble.
Fine.
Green bubble
green
nanny.
Green bubble weirdo.
It appears to be. I've sent the request.
Oh, we got Ryan in
Ryan!
The chat.
Look at that. Ryan in the chat.
Motherfucker.
Look at Eddie Murphy's beautiful face.
Oh, wow. Hey, you want to do a show?
All right, time to fire it up.
Fine.
Yeah. We're gonna fire it up.
Hi, guys, let's maybe not say the F word. Arizona and Mississippi State are playing.
Hi, Big Sky, by the way.
One of our most loyal
Thank
listeners.
Thank you to whoever from the Big
Shut up.
Conference listens in on the official
Love
conference
it.
Account every week.
Two most loyal listeners, Alex McDaniel and the Big Sky Conference.
We are now also joined by the Southland Conference.
Oh, shit.
We're collecting all of FCS.
Well, right. Hello.
Right, start the show.
Yeah, by the way, we're also joined by somebody referred to only as the Beast. Love it, man. That's great.
Beast wants you to start the show.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome! Forecast After Dark.
A low energy howl.
What does a raccoon say? That's pretty good.
They kind of chitter.
Sure.
They chitter as they feed.
I think a raccoon says, like, hey, are you going to use all that trash?
Yeah, because I love trash.
Mm. And what if I say yes?
Just let me hold some trash.
Too bad.
Just too let bad. Me hold. Just...
Speaking of trash, Spencer.
Hey, man. What's up?
Smooth.
All right. Everybody's been asking for, I don't know, 6-ish hours now, maybe a little longer. God. Blood week, not a blood week. Let's you and I try to hash it out a little bit here.
What's a blood week, first of all?
Define this for us, counselor. What is a blood week?
So we have a more formal definition somewhere, but fuck if I remember what it is. Briefly speaking, a blood week is a week where the rankings just go whoops. And you've got a bunch of upsets. They're like actual upsets, not, oh my God, number 19 beat number 17. Can you believe it? You need like a certain number of, I don't know, let's say top 10 teams to lose. You want a sprinkling all the way down. You definitely don't want all your losses clustered in like, you know, the, let's say, traditionally Tennessee portion of the top 25. Which, hey, Tennessee's undefeated, and we'll get to them.
I was going to say, Tennessee won today. We're going to talk about it.
Don't look at them.
So, given everything that transpired today, and we can go through the case if that would be helpful, but what does your gut tell you right now? Blood week, not a blood week.
If I'm going strictly on a vibes-based decision here, and I would, because anytime you lay out criteria for me, I lose them very, very quickly. Either the paperwork disappears, or I just forget what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. So based strictly on vibes and on the number of teams I saw take absolute headers off the Hoover Dam today, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say the blood leak. I've seen enough. I watched a bunch of teams that were ranked absolutely shit their collective beds. Yes. Blood week. I pronounce it a blood week. What about you, Ryan? What say you?
In the spirit of needless debate and legalism, I'll take the negative case. So I'll say this. If Texas had beaten Alabama, no question. No question. You're right. It's a blood week. But looking down the rest of the schedule, at least as it's played out so far, Georgia, Ohio State, Clemson all won easily. A&M did not. We will get to that game. That's weird. Notre Dame did not. So we've got, if I'm looking at it here, I've got 6-8 losing to unranked group of five opponents. I've got number 12, Florida, losing at home to Kentucky, which does count for these purposes, but Kentucky's number 20.
It's also kind of normal. Something that's kind of happened
it
a
is
bit
now.
Recently.
It is now. It, we live in the world where Kentucky beating Florida is normal.
Yeah.
It's cool. It's cool and I love it.
No, I've put this shirt on and it smells a little, but I can still wear it to the store. Yeah.
Then you've got number 17 Pittsburgh losing to Tennessee in overtime, which was I think Tennessee was favored in that game, so it's sort of like, does that even count? And then the other two that qualify for this are number 19 Wisconsin loses 17-14 to Wazoo. I do want to talk about that game later because it had some of the stupidest sequences you'll ever see in football. And number 25 Houston losing to Texas Tech. Texas Tech was also favored. That game went to double overtime. So I will say I think it's close but no cigar. But it really doesn't matter because I'm not in charge of Blood Week. And you're not in charge of Blood Week.
Nope. Nope. I think it's time, by the way, to summon the Keymaster to announce the name of he who definitely shall be named, the Portal Master himself, the one who can unlock the secrets of a Blood Week, Jason Kirk, holder of the title. Enter the discussion, please.
And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. He was the Kansas Jayhawks, winning in Morgantown by 2 touchdowns in overtime? What the fuck? He was also Georgia Southern, winning at Nebraska. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was given to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and there was given to him a great sword so that four FBS teams would lose to FCS teams on a single Saturday. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "Wisconsin lost to Washington State." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to the Kentucky Wildcats over a fourth of the earth, with sword, with hunger, and by the beasts of the earth to defeat the Florida Gators. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge Notre Dame for losing to Marshall?" I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth. And Appalachian State beat Texas A&M, and the moon became like blood. I am pressing the tweet right now from Is This Blood Week on Twitter. Yes, this was a blood week. We had, entering the season, all right, everyone agreed, we had three title favorites, but we have six teams with basically realistic chances. Notre Dame and Texas A&M were in that discussion. They both lost teams that were in FCS within the last decade or two. A&M entered on the hottest recruiting streak in the country. Number one class. Like, this is the team that, this is like the only hope outside of Georgia to topple Bama in the SEC. They lost to App fucking State.
I will argue that the App State result is more proof that it's a blood week than the Marshall result, because it was weirder. Like, Marshall beat Notre Dame, A, in part because they ran all the fuck over them, and their offensive line was successfully getting a lot of push on Notre Dame throughout the day, but also because, like, Notre Dame continues to have, like, a real quarterback issue. And the issue is that the quarterback looks at whoever he's going to throw the ball to, and Marshall says, "Oh, it's going to him. I'll count to three, and then I'll go take the ball from him."
No, Notre Dame had numerous chances to get back into this game late, and they pushed away the life raft at every point. Yeah. They really did. And, you know, I said that they had basically, like, put the nail in their own coffin. Yeah, sealed them up. They were putting super glue on the inside of that coffin. Like, "Nope, don't get me out of here. It's nice in here."
And, like, Marshall had a pick six that effectively sealed the game. But before that, they had, like, long, long, long scoring drives of, like, 70 plus, 80 plus yards, where it's like, these are not sort of like fluky, weird, confusing things where it's like, "Wow, did you see the like gadgety 8-yard run that Marshall ran on Notre Dame?" App State, on the other hand, Texas A&M only ran 38 plays in this game.
I one time went on like a 10-minute rant about UConn playing the worst offensive game I've ever seen. And in that game, I believe they ran 35 plays. A&M, far better situated, and with a coach that they are paying and have to pay a total of $95 million.
Yeah.
38 plays.
Here's the weirder number to me. So App ran significantly more than 38 plays. Texas A&M had one sack and four tackles for loss on defense. App, despite only being on the field for 38 plays of Aggie offense, had two sacks and six tackles for loss. Appalachian State had an 8-minute drive, a 6-minute drive, another 6-minute drive, a 9-minute drive, and these weren't even necessarily that productive. Two of those drives ended in a missed field goal and a turnover on downs.
The nine-minute drive ended in a field goal.
They held the ball for 40 fucking minutes. And they went for it on fourth down a bunch of times. That technically they went 3 of 5. The last fourth down was really just the last play of the game, so they really went 3 of 4. But all of the fourth downs were 4th and 1. Mm-hmm. They averaged 6 yards to gain on third down. There was no like they just refused to let A&M participate.
By
my quick math, Jimbo was paid $16,000 per snap by A&M's offense today.
Like, this is the one that is, like, just baffling. Because, like, if you said, oh, if Marshall can, like, establish the run and win the turnover battle, I'd be like, yeah, that'll happen. And if you said, well, for App to win, A&M has to not play one side of the ball entirely, I'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. Oh, this is how it happened. Cool.
If you were wondering, maybe Appalachian State is a sleeping giant defensively. Last week, they let North Carolina put 567 yards and 63 points on them. By comparison, this week, that same defense held A&M to 9 goddamn first downs.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, they got a lot of practice on defense last week, Spencer. To be fair to Jimbo.
That's true. But they didn't get over the Mendoza line when it came to yardage. 186 total yards. That's it.
And kickoff return touchdown, I believe, as well.
Yeah, and a kickoff return touchdown. Otherwise, you're looking at 17-7.
Which, honestly, I'm sure the defense was like, oh, cool. A kickoff return touchdown. Fucking great. I guess we'll get back out there for another 8 minutes. Thanks a fucking lot. You couldn't just wave. You know, they'll give it to you at the 25. You couldn't just do that? All right, cool. Hey, where's Holly, by the way? Has anybody seen her?
I heard her for a second. Holly, is she around?
Hey. All right, I'll put it to the room. Does anybody know how to get a hold of Greg Abbott?
I don't have the number.
Not in like a...
I mean the governor of Texas.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Do we know... Okay, do we know if there's like... I know that he's encouraging Texans to report their neighbors...
Not just report, sue.
To Health and Human Services for seeking life-saving medical care.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to make sure he knows there's at least 2 abortions today that I'm pretty sure he missed.
You can sue.
There's
you
a big sue. One. Yeah. There's one in Austin that lasted like 4 hours. There's another one in College Station. I can give him televised footage. Anyway, you want to talk about somebody who needs to worry less about DNC and more about defense and catching?
Mm-hmm.
Good evening, Greg.
That's correct.
I can't find the actual hotline. I was going to try and find if there was an actual hotline and we were going to call it on the show, but I can't find like an after hours number for Texas Health and Human Services.
Coach Abbott, we got to keep our offense out there on the field, coach.
I will say for all of the problems Texas has had with the power grid, we came very close to being able to store like a year's worth of nuclear energy off of Texas fans bragging about beating Bama while A&M lost to App State. That would have solved all the energy problems.
So absolutely close, but you know, you can't keep the defense off the field with a power run game if you ain't got no power, Ryan. So it ain't happening.
Yeah, wow. The Saudis taught us that.
God.
At Texas A&M.
Yeah, Texas A&M satellite campus in... I believe Dubai.
This isn't a joke. They have one.
It's somewhere
in space.
In space. That's right.
at least they got something out in space.
maybe we need to send Jimbo there. That might improve the offense a little bit.
Here's the fucked up thing: the state of Kansas had a fucking bang ass day in football.
Kansas having a better Saturday than Texas. We're kind of used to that by now.
Yeah, I guess so.
How good a day was it for Kansas, though? Because who did Kansas State beat? Kansas State absolutely hammered
Mizzou! Yes. And they did it with Taylor Martinez, just letting Taylor Martinez being good at the things he's good at, and not, I don't know, whatever Nebraska does all of the time.
Yeah, so further enhancing Kansas's day. Like, their greatest historical bully just lost to Georgia Southern.
What a good Big 12 day, like, historical Big 12 day this
is. Is Godfrey in here? Because this feels like his Dark Brandon moment, and I just want to make sure we capture it.
You add to this Texas Tech tweeting a crumpled Red Bull can at the Houston Cougars.
Hey, listen, when Dana wakes up in like 3 hours, he's gonna be really mad.
He's gonna be mad because he's gonna look at that can and be like, "There's still meat on that bone. You throw that away?
Show some respect to our fallen soldiers."
Hey,
if you drive to Illinois, they'll give you 15 cents for that can.
I use every part of the buffalo. Let me tell you, brother.
I chew on it to brush my teeth.
And meanwhile, the thundering herd buffalo used every part of Notre Dame. So it's a circle of life. It's perfect.
I have a word of advice to every Alabama player on the roster who suspects that they might not...
Does it involve a giant UPS box?
Yeah, take that.
Does it
giant
involve
UPS.
Putting yourself on Sark's doorstep in a basket with a bonnet?
Here's what you do.
Goo-goo. You free just to get good
a little,
home.
You just get a little double-sided tape. You put it on the appropriate flaps on that box. You address it to a school that might be interested in you. Maybe somebody else offered you and you were like, nah, I'm going to Bama.
Do you know how never I would get into a closed mode of transportation with Nick Saban after I'd been even near that many penalties being committed, regardless of whether or not I was responsible for them in any way? Don't go home.
Yeah,
you can't go home.
Hit the bricks. Mm-hmm. Leave. You don't want that practice.
You need to quit. I mean, keep playing football, but go do it somewhere else. Nothing good is going to happen to you for a minute.
Get the packing materials of your choice. For instance, if you want a bunch of bubble wrap and you just want to, like, bubble wrap yourself into a box and then sit there and pop them to keep yourself amused while you're shipped from one destination to the other so as not to be spotted by Alabama spies, go right ahead because you have 15 penalties for 100 yards in a game against Texas that you won by 1 point. You don't want to be there for that practice. You don't want to be there for the next one. The next week is going to be a living hell that you can excuse yourself for. Take a vacation from purgatory. Transfer. Get out of there. Hell, go to Northern Alabama. It's lovely up there.
You know the worst part about all those penalties? I have this is probably a very Florida theory that, like, not all penalties are bad penalties. Sometimes it's just like, you were
I'm
just
throwing
footballing.
Up the U right now.
Yeah, it is. It is very Miami Bannis. Like, you were footballing too hard or too excitedly, or you had a ref who just, like, decided, nope, this is the day where I'm calling a lot of defensive pass interference, whatever. Like, I kind of put those to one side. But the problem for Bama is that they had 5 false starts and 3 offsides penalties in this game. And that's not footballing too hard. That's just footballing wrong.
Yeah.
Nick hates it when you football wrong.
That's footballing when you are least supposed to be footballing.
That's the kind of footballing you do when you're distracted by going on the road outside of the conference, which I would remind everybody is something that Bama hasn't done in a real long time.
But we root for Florida, so we can't talk shit about this.
And as long as we acknowledge the same, it's a long way. I like sleeping in my own bed, and I'm scared of pooping anywhere else. So that's really what you tell people when you don't say.
Luckily, we're recording this.
The space has ended. Yeah.
Hey.
Are you? Oh God.
Just keep rolling and see if we can fire it up. If not,
week two, part two, the sequel.
Before that happened, we were like 500 people above our previous high.
Famed Texan Elon Musk shutting down our Twitter space.
Oh, ERCOT came for us, folks.
I'm the first one in the space.
Oh, now Ryan has established dominance.
Now, I will not let anyone in.
Do you remember when we were trying to figure out what was going wrong and the Twitter engineer's suggestion was to make sure that we hit the button first?
Yeah.
Before Hi, everybody. Else. Things are hey. So sweet over here.
That wasn't our fault. No one pushed any buttons. No one pushed any buttons. How could it be our fault if no one pushed any buttons?
Maybe we were supposed to push buttons.
NASA's
press X to continue. we're back over 1,000.
Oh, man. Twitter Spaces. You need more QuickTime events. That's
Oh, yeah. Press B, 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 B.
We were probably talking about how you should absolutely put yourself in a box and mail yourself to another program rather than go to Alabama practice this week. I think that's what we were sort of around.
I just don't want to make eye contact with Nick at this time.
Did you see? There's a photo of him smiling in the press conference after this game.
Of course there is. He gets to talk about rat poison now.
What's the opposite of rat poison? Because now it's going to be all like, oh, it's time
cat
to write
food.
My...
Cat food. He's tuna. Just give him a little cat
I think
food.
The opposite of rat poison is a rat.
Oh, shit. Mickey Mouse. The media.
Who does Bama have next? Let's see. Bama schedule.
Well, I'm not the one that made us that said we were number one. That was you. That was you, people.
Oh, wow.
I love that song.
An old friend comes to town next for the Alabama Crimson Tide, Louisiana Monroe.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let me say
so much
it.
To, so
let me
much
say
to
it
avenge.
Like Stephen Godfrey. Louisiana Monroe.
Monroe.
Yeah, Monroe.
And yeah, that, Yeah, ULM's not good. So ULM,
it ain't worth it.
Somebody has to suffer for our sins. ULM, might as well be you.
The athletic department can probably make it through another few months without this check. ULM, you don't need it.
They probably can't, actually.
A few months, I said.
I don't know if that's true.
Have you seen the heads? The heads that the Sun Belt took today? Overall, that's
Yeah. Just take out a loan from App State. They got money.
And what's our other producer, Michael Serber, texted us right before we went on air. Sun Belt schools were paid $4.1 million to beat Power Five.
That's more money than Jimbo made today.
Can I talk about one more stat that I just love from this Bama Texas game?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Can anyone give me a non-stupid way to get to 19 points?
No,
it's all dumb.
19 joins 5 and...
Would you take 2 touchdowns with 2-point conversions and a field goal?
That's stupid.
No, that's stupid. I mean, that's not stupid. 2-point
conversions?
That's not stupid for you, but somebody... I mean, sorry, stupid in the context of the game.
Okay, pretend I'm Lane Kiffin, who's never
you've allowed 2-point conversions. Something in this game is sideways.
Pretend I'm Lane Kiffin showing off for my friends against an FCS team.
I mean, it's cool, but it's
not
stupid.
Not a Sun Belt team. I guess it's cool and stupid in Lane Kiffin's case.
Most cool things are stupid.
Grad school is like 16th grade.
Is that Godfrey again talking?
Yeah, that's really nice. Hey, I've got a redwood hot tub at my place. I know it's Oxford, Mississippi, and it's 90 degrees and 70% humidity, but you know it's really nice. You should come over.
It's also just like Texas almost did this. Having to play their third string quarterback for points for like a decent stretch of this game.
Yeah.
And with the
starter out and the backup playing fucking hurt.
Yeah. Like within minutes, this game turned into, oh man, I remember the 2009 title game when this exact same thing happened. And well, guess what happened in that game? they almost pulled it off despite losing the starter. That's the part they repeated.
That's the part that. Amazing. Also, there was a horrible, like, Quinn Ewers getting hurt. It happened on the kind of hit that I absolutely hate, but think is just, like, unavoidable if you're playing a collision-based game. And that's where he got hit, right? He'd already let the ball go. The guy finishes the hit, and when he does, he lands on the guy, right? And when you land on the dude, like, sometimes it's accidental, sometimes it's not. It's so impossible to tell because you have people running as fast as they possibly can towards each other and then asking to pull up and a hit at the last second, right? I don't know what I said this like a bunch of times today. I don't know what the defender is supposed to do. For instance, in a game that Kentucky won completely fairly because they beat Florida's dumbass, all right, up and down the field in the second half. But there was a call for roughing the passer on Will Levis where, like, I really don't know what the defender was supposed to do. He wrapped up. He hit low. He avoided.
Guys, he's talking about Florida again.
Okay.
You told me he wasn't going to do that.
It's time for me to bring up my favorite stat about, you know how I know Texas Bama was a good game? Because 20 minutes apart, precisely 20 minutes apart, we got the following reader assessments. First from I Am Boyleg. I'm convinced this is the worst possible outcome. Alabama wins. We have to listen to Texas, think they belong, and complain that they got screwed. 20 minutes later from RE Golf, Bama looked awful and Texas got their hearts broken. Best possible outcome as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
play
that
choo-choo song.
Just be positive. Why not?
Yeah.
Take it. Kansas is 2-0. Take it. All right.
I think that the most beautiful games are the ones where you can see whatever you want in them. Mm-hmm. Bama and Texas is a perfect crystalline sphere.
Rankings are in the heart. If you want me to rank, if you want to go ahead and say, hey, you were 12 and you lost to a 19, that means that you should at least get 12. Screw that. Pick one of those nice spots. Take a 4. If you want a 3, maybe take a 2 or a 1. It's all in your heart. It's week 2. You put your team wherever you want to put it.
Who put Duke Northwestern on this Google document?
Me.
Not it.
Me.
Why did you do that?
Because I heard somebody besides me say Duke football on television while I was flipping channels, and it was as close to an out-of-body experience as I believe I've ever had. Also, Duke now has a transitive win over Nebraska, but somehow now that feels like an insult to Duke. I think that's interesting. That's all.
That's all right. Let me just remind you, who was Texas A&M's defensive coordinator that kept them in a lot of games over the last 2 years and did a fantastic job and then got a job at a school and left A&M to their own devices, where they hired DJ Durkin, who allowed Appalachian State to, I don't know, play most of the game.
That's among the least offensive things DJ Durkin has allowed on his watch.
True, true. Everyone made it out of this game. So good job, DJ. Mike Elko is the answer, by the way. Mike Elko, the current head coach at Duke.
Duke is football? 2-0. Hell yes, Duke football.
Did they show Gary Patterson at any point during the Texas Bama game? I didn't catch that.
It was hard to tell because he had a white polo on, and so you couldn't immediately clock his moisture levels.
Okay, I didn't see him, and I was really hoping that that was because they couldn't show him because he was in that, like, oil pool that the Baron is in Dune, that's what he's calling the defense from.
Except it's orange.
But it's also oil. But it's still oil.
Tang must flow.
Orange oil.
I mean the drink.
I think, nice. I think they can show that during Big Nude Saturday, which also I think is the reason Bama struggled. They have never competed in a Big Nude Saturday before.
They've never been exposed to the orange oil, which, by the way, is taco juice, right? Like, it's the juice that comes out of a taco.
Yeah.
You funnel it into a giant reservoir and you put Gary Patterson in it.
That feels racist, and I can't figure out why.
I regret saying this immediately.
Of course, so does Gary.
But my brain cannot imagine Nick Saban taking his clothes off. Like, he's the kind of person that I think he goes home
like
and
he's
just
a doll, like he's a doll where the clothes are molded plastic onto him. They're not fabric.
Yes, he just like...
I could buy that.
Oh, time to get in the shower and my clothes. Time
now, is the showering shirt also a polo underneath whatever polo he is putting on for the day?
Yeah.
He has some sort of a grafted skin polo.
Mm-hmm. He molds polos.
You know he has that button on his desk to close the door so he doesn't have to get up and do it, right?
There's only one other person I remember hearing about having this, and it's not the same story at all, but please go ahead.
All right, so he has that.
Yeah.
This leads me to believe all of his clothes are secretly tear-off. I mean, they're just Velcro, they're right here, so he could just get straight in the shower and just...
but not for entertainment, right? For efficiency.
There's no way he worked with Lane Kiffin and Lane Kiffin never tore his clothes off if they were tear away, just as like a prank
during a game.
That's actually why they made him leave after that one game in the Georgia Dome.
I wonder if one of the sideline shots of Saban berating Kiffin was because Kiffin tried it, Saban anticipated it, and wore decoy tearaways that day.
Oh.
And I knew you would fall for it,
where they
you little
just
piece
look
of
like
shit.
Snaps, but it's all sewn together.
Yeah.
Fuck. It's
don't
like a band
like a
uniform.
Fool?
What are all these buttons for? They don't do anything.
Everyone saw you doing that when you should have been calling the offense, you idiot.
Everyone saw you try to get me naked.
Is this Marabou?
When you should have been calling a naked bootleg.
God, I can't do that. Hey, speaking of defensive coordinators, Gene Chizik, for the second week in a row, we beseech you, man.
Got some words of chisdom for you, brother.
Okay, I will say that at the time at which I began worrying about Gene Chizik today, I was also worried that they have Notre Dame next week. I'm no longer quite as worried.
That's a get-right game.
I'm worried, but now I'm kind of worried for everybody. Like watching your child leave home with an underage driver.
You know what's fucked up? There are going to be some voters who look at the App State A&M result and they're like, well, UNC beat that team, so we got to rank them. They're 3-0, so we got to rank.
Oh my God, Gene, go home. Gene, go home. You have a family that loves you, I presume. Go home. You don't have to live like this.
You can go back on TV.
It's not too late. You were great on TV.
There are no touchdowns on TV. There are no long third down conversions on TV.
Yeah,
you're one of the few people I know documentedly has money. I've seen the number. Also, you lived in Auburn. The number that you got for coaching Auburn and the number that you have to spend to live in Auburn. Brother, you're good for like 500 years.
Gene Chizik, do you want a local Emmy? Because we'll get you a local Emmy, my dude. Yeah. We'll campaign for that.
UNC is going to be like 8-0 and Matt Brown's gonna be like, I can't do this shit anymore. I'm going back to television. Like, he just materializes in the booth on a Friday night at 11:30. Like, I've been here. What the hell are you talking about? I've been in this booth right beside you this whole time. And Gene Chizik looks up to realize he is now the interim head coach of UNC. Oh, fuck.
Oh,
right?
God, what a nightmare.
He's the one in charge. And, like, this team and the playoff committee's like, they're 13-0. What are we supposed to do?
The national title contending head coach. Yeah. Oh, God, buddy, go home. Yeah. It doesn't have to be this way.
He's got the pedigree. Mm-hmm. He's won before.
I mean, you know, that's all technically true. He did win.
Do you want to fuck up his Emmy chances?
Rockabye, bitch.
Mac, by the way, Mac looks stressed. Mac looks like this season is putting it on him.
Mac looks like his skin is tight.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like he's been in the freezer a little too long. If a person can look freezer burnt without ever being in the freezer, that's how he looks.
You don't know what he does.
He has chapped ass of the face.
And soul. The whole thing. North Carolina football has chapped his ass.
Maybe he just snowboards a bunch.
That Chapel Hill, it's right there.
Hi, I'm Mac Brown. I'm about to go grease this half pipe.
Mac Brown, can I get you to say shred the gnar real quick?
Henry Kissinger and I won a Tandem X Games medal in 1994. Nobody talks about that anymore.
I am shredding the gnar.
Seriously, this whole week, not a heart murmur from Henry Kissinger?
Not one. Not unkillable. Christ. You know what keeps him alive? His love of skateboarding.
Yeah,
that's what keeps him alive.
Sick ollie over a trash can.
Here's one of the best tweets I saw all weekend. This comes from Marissa Barton. It's kind of nuts that Brian Ferentz is still our most egregious example of nepotism in a week that Charles became king. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is when we will talk about the fucking Iowa-Iowa State game.
Let's do it.
Elastico!
Wipe out.
Like, there were more than one. There were several moments where I was like, Matt Campbell's going to lose this game again. Matt Campbell's going to drop to, I think it would be 0-6 against Iowa. He's won two games against Oklahoma. He's won two games against Oklahoma State. Everybody else sort of in the middle rung of the Big 12, he like punches with consistently. And he's going to be 0-6 against Iowa in the dumbest and most miserable ways possible. Like, when they got those 20 yards of penalties called against him, I was like, this is how it happens. This is exactly how it happens. But thank God, Matt Campbell, you didn't have to do that again. Because, goddamn, I didn't want to watch overtime that game.
Iowa, we know you don't like it when we talk about you like this, but the problem is you keep making it very difficult to talk about this game in other ways.
This is, maybe I am misremembering, and I frequently do. It feels like the Iowa anger at Iowa doing this shit is much higher now than it has been. Like, in years past, it's just sort of been like, well, we just play big, tough football, and you're just mad because we take it from you.
You're just jealous. You just want to be us.
Before, yes. There was a mix of that and secret frustration that they didn't want to admit.
Yeah,
they're admitting it. They're openly admitting it now.
But like,
to be fair, things are far worse than ever before.
Yeah, Spencer Petras is so unfortunate as a quarterback that, like,
so coached by the Ferentzes. Yeah,
that whatever you, Fullcast listener, say about Iowa and their offense on the internet, an Iowa fan is saying something worse.
Can I go through some Iowa statistics? My only statistical research this week, as a person committed to watching every hour of Iowa football this season, yes, this game was better than last week's. Jesus. Iowa scored 7 points. We spent a great deal of time last week enjoying the fact that they got to 7 points in the stupidest way possible. This time around, they didn't do that. They got them all at once. That's bad. They lost. Iowa gained 166 yards in week one. Their season average yards per game then went down.
Played a better team. Played a better team.
Yeah. Sorry.
Iowa is on pace. Iowa's on pace to gain 1,896 yards this season. They can't keep up this pace, you might say, but they've literally already played their only FCS opponent. They still have to play Michigan, Ohio State, and a bunch of teams that are probably roughly as good as Iowa State. The point is, Iowa is on pace to gain 1,896 yards this season. Let me give you the entire list of FBS teams that in this millennium have gained fewer than 2,500 yards in a season, according to Sports Reference. The list is Kevin Steele's 2-9 Baylor Bears from the year 2000. Jesus. That is the list. Note, Iowa would have to improve in order to gain that many yards this year.
Yeah, but Kevin Steele got the Tennessee job for a little bit there, so.
Iowa is now averaging 2.79 yards per play this season. Here's the list of FBS teams this millennium that have averaged worse than 3.4 yards per play. 2002 Rutgers, which went 1-11. Iowa will need to improve by almost half a yard per play in order to be better than Greg Schiano's worst team ever.
You shouldn't average a 3 and out. You shouldn't. That's what that is. That's averaging a 3 and out.
It is. You could, like, that. That's so bad. You could go for it on every fourth down, and we're still like, it's pretty dicey.
Yeah, it's not. It's not even averaging a decision to make 3 and out. It's like, I got a punt again.
well, perfect. Iowa's 2.79 yards per play is even half a yard worse than 2011 Alabama's defense allowed per play. So far, Iowa has turned South Dakota State and Iowa State into Nick Saban's most Nick Saban team ever. Okay? Iowa is passing for 3.86 yards per throw. The only full season number anywhere near that in the last 14 years is 2009 New Mexico State, which threw half a yard per pass better. Last one. Iowa's on pace to score fewer total points than the 1-10 ULM Warhawks of the year 2000, who only played 11 games.
This is making me sad. Like, this is making me sad at this point.
I feel great.
So, scoring 7 points the hard way at scoring the Iowa touchdown against San Diego State, or I'm sorry, South Dakota State. The weather that day. Do you recall the weather? It was about 72, 74 degrees, perfect. Delightful fall day, all right? Late summer, early fall day for Iowa football. 7 points. Today, in driving rain, the entire game on a wet track, when it was about 55 degrees, and Kirk Ferentz was sitting in a white T-shirt looking like a wet hen on the sidelines. How many points did they score? That's correct, 7. Iowa football is so miserable and so inefficient. Weather doesn't affect them.
I call them dependable. Rain or shine, they will score 7 points.
I think, again, we just have to remember that this is clear evidence that Brian Ferentz has not had sex yet. He is not strong enough to beat up his dad. He will have to have sex in order to become his strongest form. Like Baki the Grappler, and then finally defeat his father in combat, and then take over Iowa and average 8 points a game instead of 7.
So what do we do when, like, Iowa explodes for 61 points at just a random game this season? Like, oh, Brian finally did it! Brian finally found a special someone and whooped his dad's ass.
Yeah, his father watching along going, show them what Hanma men are made of. Do it.
Even the 2012 Hawkeyes, which went 4-8 and did not have a very pleasant season, and that included a 6-9 loss to Iowa State in week 2, even they averaged 19 points a game.
Ooh, that's so many points.
Like,
slow down.
This cannot.
That wow.
I feel like that Breaking Bad gif, the, like, he can't keep getting away with this, but, like, he really can't keep getting away with this.
What, he can't keep getting $6 million a year for this?
Like, at some point, it has, I don't know.
No, it doesn't.
But, like, Northwestern kept the same OC for, like, 15 years, and that was a dude who was like, I don't know, does 78 yards sound good? Would that be enough for you? How about a cup of soup to go with it?
For the live progress, okay? The entire idea of history for some people is not to improve. It is simply to replicate the same shitty thing forever. Okay? That's it.
It's to keep getting paid. If they put up too many points, Ferentz has to go take the Bears job or something. Nobody wants to do that shit.
Okay, at this moment, let's start doing that. Let's just go. I hear people in the NFL are sniffing around Kirk Ferentz.
Really that's happened. That happens every few years. Yeah, it was the Chiefs before they. Allegedly, they're like, should we hire Andy Reid or Kirk Ferentz? People had to sit and ponder that. Like, that's an actual difficult choice or something.
Let me put it this way. That man has won anywhere from 7 to 9 to 10 games for the better part.
They made the Big Ten championship last year.
For the better part of 20 years, for the better part of 20 years by spending $5 on a quarterback.
If the Big Ten West champion is not Wisconsin, I view it as they had to send someone.
We have a sign of life from Stephen Godfrey. Georgia Southern learned the forward pass last month, and they've scored more touchdowns in 2 weeks than Iowa has this decade.
God.
I don't know if that's mathematically true, but it feels emotionally true.
It's basically
true. Oh shit, that might be mathematically true.
Yeah.
Can I share with you some very confusing things that happened in the Washington State Wisconsin game?
Oh, wonderful.
I wish you would. I didn't see a second of this game, so please do.
Yeah, I happened to look up right at the final score like, "Whoa, what the fuck?"
So,
yeah. This was, by the way, when you received the first incidents of a very large traumatic incident via Twitter without knowing what's going on. That's exactly what this game felt like, right? Like, hey, I heard Spider-Man fighting Dr. Doom downtown, right? Oh my god, this building fell over. That was every tweet I saw about this game.
Okay, so Wazoo won this game 17-14 despite having 10 first downs and 253 yards of offense to Wisconsin's 400 yards of offense.
Sure.
But it had here's a partial explanation why. In the third quarter, because Wazoo shut Wisconsin out for the entire second half. These are a couple of ways in which that happened. First, in the third quarter, Wazoo threw a terrible pick, like passed directly to a defensive back. But they forced a fumble during the return, got the ball back, and turned that like extended drive into a touchdown that was scored by a running back transfer who used to play at Wisconsin, which is the meanest thing you can do. Then in the fourth quarter, Graham Mertz threw a red zone pick to a defensive lineman. He fumbled the ball back to Wisconsin. Two plays later, Graham Mertz completed a 24-yard pass all the way to the Wazoo 12, but then Wazoo forced a fumble and got it back and burned the last 5 minutes of clock at, like, It feels very rare and special to see the double turnover, the I throw a pick, you fumble it right back to me, and that means I get a first down no matter like where the ball was before or what happened. It feels very special to have that happen twice in one game. And to have it happen against Wisconsin is just like, yeah, I don't know. This felt haunted.
I think Graham Mertz is a Mr. Toad of a quarterback. I don't know where the machine is going, but it's going to be a wild ride, no matter what the numbers say. You know, this is an especially weird game because both teams have 3 turnovers.
Yes.
Normally, when you see a game like this, you go, oh, 400 yards and you scored 14 points. Oh, you must have a whole bushel of turnovers there. Nope. 3-3, buddy. 3-3.
I know, like, Mike Leach hasn't coached there in a long time. And I know programs change. It still feels incredibly weird to see Wazoo win a game against a Power 5 opponent on the road with 17 points.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's wrong. It's wrong. You could go ahead and say it. This is a wrong and unnatural game. Washington State was involved, right? And we all joke like, ha-ha, these two teams are going to get along. This is two hard-drinking, hard-partying teams. It'll be a good time. I don't think it sounds like anybody had a good time.
No.
It seems like a very bad time for everyone involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Legislation needs to be passed so that these two teams do not play anymore. because this should not happen. Whereas what I'm watching right now live, by the way, just by way of update, because this is a live program, the game I'm watching right now in the second quarter between Mississippi State and the Arizona Wildcats at 15-10, already having featured some of the most batshit plays I have already seen all season. These two teams should play every year, and they should not start before 11 p.m. Eastern.
God, these two teams?
Yes, these two teams. That Mississippi State and Arizona.
Ugh.
Okay, what starts as curiosity becomes tradition, Jason Kirk. This is a rivalry. We need to preserve it. This needs to be out of state, out of conference rivalry every single year.
I think the Mississippi State of every conference of the P5s, those five teams, those five Mississippi States, should play, and this is, I think, the first leg of that tour, Mississippi State, Arizona.
They should play the most deranged conference schedule ever between every Mississippi State of every conference.
Live update here from the motherfucking lock-in, where the youth group kids of Baylor have just scored to pull ahead of BYU. It is after midnight. It is officially a lock-in.
13-10, low scoring. It's a chase game, appropriately enough. Oregon State, by the way, 14. Fresno State, 13. Out in beautiful Fresno.
So, Holly, Tennessee is undefeated.
Yeah.
Did I tell you where my father is this week?
The listeners don't know if you want to divulge that.
My dad chose to carry my mother's purse on a 3-week, I forget if it's an architectural tour or like a landscape tour of southern France, rather than be in the country for this Tennessee-Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, so then Tennessee beats Akron. So after that, it's Tennessee-Florida. Where are they going to go for that one?
Shit.
Yeah.
I know. That's the week I have to pick him up from the airport. He might just stay there.
If you get past him, there's a trip to LSU, and then it's Bama. That's a lot of travel.
Stop that! You're supposed to be the nice one.
Got to send the folks on a cruise or something.
Ooh, how do we like start the Tinder of? Oh, I don't know. Bama looked a little bit weak in Tennessee.
Yeah,
Tennessee's really showing up. How do we do that quietly? I don't want it to burn too hot too fast. I just want to let it simmer.
If today's Tennessee played today's Bama, I don't know. I mean, Bama against orange teams with T-E at the beginning of their name, Bama against UTs, might be the kryptonite.
I think if you just
cyber bullying, and that's only funny when I do it.
You just have to change. Bama has to be coached by Pat Narduzzi, and then I'll buy that Tennessee is going to win.
We're going to commit to the run game.
Pat Narduzzi did my favorite coach thing, which Pitt drives to score the game-tying touchdown on 4th and goal. It's like a really, really impressive catch. Like, they've got to be feeling great. There's still like a minute 30-ish left on the clock. The defense comes out. Tennessee goes 3 and out. There's like Pitt, because Pat Narduzzi just hates timeouts and called like the most petulant challenge you've ever seen earlier in this game. They only have one
just,
left.
But just,
they,
just a lashing out challenge.
Yes.
He's a very emotional man.
They're so dramatic.
But they have one timeout left. Tennessee gets stopped on 3rd down with like a minute to go. And the dudes is just like, no, let's play for over. No, absolutely, let's play. And it's like,
intentionally scaled down offense minus Keaton Slovis in a situation where we're relying upon them to score.
Let's do more football. It's like,
Can I tell you how much I appreciate having a backup quarterback for Pitt named Patty with an I? Love that. This is not a diss. I love that. He played beautifully.
Oh, I would like to share my favorite.
Not beautifully enough. But
my favorite name of the day, Eastern Washington's quarterback, is named Gunnar Talkington.
Oh, hell yes. Does that mean we're done talking about my son?
It does because I hate it. If you've gotten this far in the podcast and y'all wanted to hear something, okay? Because y'all be talking about all these other teams, okay?
Yeah, I'll put it down for a second. What?
You ain't paid no respect. None. To a team that's just done nothing but put its foot straight in the ass of all the asses that done got on the ass whooping line. All of them, okay? You done put butts on the rack.
Quit trying to gin up another wumpin' moment for yourself for your fucking SEC show.
Going into business and for yourself. Putting yourself over.
Wanted to go ahead and say that they didn't see any reason they couldn't rank this team number one was one Ryan Nanny. That's right. Coastal Elite on the Cumberland River. Ryan Nanny, okay? He said he couldn't see any reason why he should go ahead and rank this team number one. So if you made it this far, guess what? It's 12:35 and Arkansas done womp some ass.
If I wanted to hear this much talk in that voice, I would watch Thinking Out Loud Mondays at 7 on the SEC Network, but I fucking don't.
Womp there too. You show up wherever. Arkansas is going to womp. That's right. Got a running back named Rocket. You see him coming, but it doesn't matter. Okay? They got KJ Jefferson. Just a beautiful juggernaut of a man. Womping here, womping there. 44-30 over the South Carolina Gamecocks.
I saw a stray tweet today in which someone said that British actors, the American accent they can do easiest is Southern. And I'm like, okay, first of all, that's a fucking lie. You're all terrible at it.
But note what
Spencer just did there. He said, doesn't. All right? Uh-huh. If you don't hit him with doesn't, you don't know what you're talking about. You ain't doing it right if you don't drop a fucking doesn't on him.
That's right. When we conjugate that verb, I doesn't, you doesn't, we doesn't. No sotros done up.
No sums arrive.
Yeah. Vos doesn't. Yeah, that's right. If you like Arkansas just does nothing but beat ass.
How does Arkansas not have like a lineman named Ustedes? How is that?
Okay, hey, I got a word problem speaking, which first of all, I love what
Arkansas
is.
It's us teddies.
U.S. titties.
Right? That's wee titties. Please.
If your last name was somehow La Biblioteca, okay? I'm naming my first son Donde Esta, okay?
Doug, you can just kick him off any second.
Mm-hmm. No, that's absolutely what I would name my child. I know. Yeah.
I got a word problem for y'all.
Please.
Involving the Arkansas-South Carolina game. A broadcast mystery. And I loved watching Arkansas today. They were playing 90s Whitney, and the student section was singing along. I don't think there's any stronger magic. I think the score bears that out. But at one point, with the score 14-3 Arkansas, there were clearly audible overrated chants coming from somewhere in this stadium. Arkansas is ranked 16th and was leading South Carolina, a team which is not ranked at all. This was at like the start of the second quarter, if you want to run your DVRs back. Where in the fuck were those coming from? And who were they directed at? This feels like one of those train leaves Boston, train leaves Chicago things.
I'm going to guess that these were directed at everyone who voted for any mascot name besides Cock Commander.
Is it possible that it was coming from everyone and it was showing a Bama Texas score at that point in the stadium?
That is the only reasonable explanation I've heard so far.
Okay.
Cuz it wasn't that early slate.
That feels like a moment to come together.
Okay. It really threw me. I mean, the overrated chant is illogical to begin with, but you know.
I wonder if it was about a score that had been shown in the stadium at that time. Like maybe the Bama score had just been shown.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see that. One little side note here from a conference that we love, traditional Big Ten power USC. I know we talk a lot of shit about the Big Ten, but goddamn, USC had a damn half against Stanford. They scored 35 points in the first half against them, and they looked vicious. They looked absolute. Their receivers, especially Jordan Addison, who of course came from Pitt of all places. I do love that USC is not. People are like, USC's back. I'm like, they had to go to
from
Pitt
where?
To get a receiver. Yeah, from where? Where have they been? But yeah, they
study
looked
abroad.
Really good. Study, that's right. Quick, by the way, what are the top three most like absolutely fraudulent bullshit study abroad places that are not in North America that you can go to. Like when somebody was like, hey man, I did study abroad. And they're like, oh, where'd you go?
Anything in England. Anything in England.
I'm eliminating North America. Okay. You got to at least cross an ocean. Okay. Or you got to leave the.
Anything in England. Cause it's like, they don't, you didn't have to learn a new language and the food's terrible. Like you just wanted to drink more easily.
We know everything they know.
That's right. A really counterpoint. That's a really good reason to go on study abroad.
Yeah, that's just go to Florida.
Sometimes bullshit is good. So sometimes
like, Ohio.
Just yeah. go to a dueling pianos bar in Florida if you want to drink more easily.
I studied abroad in Paris where they could bring everything to your apartment. I really learned a lot about myself ordering food and having my laundry delivered to me. It taught me a lot.
I studied abroad in Memphis.
That's not bullshit, though. You can learn a lot.
I'm an Egyptologist, so it made sense.
Yeah, like my most bullshit one was always like, I went to Spain. Like, you speak Spanish? No. Everyone I know who went to study abroad in Spain, they're like, what did you study? You're like,
ham. I speak ham.
Anoche ham.
Yes.
It was crazy, bro. They'll let you drink. That was it. Everybody I know who went to study in Spain, like, what did you learn? Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
The study abroad is like, it's almost sort of like, you know, a joke.
Yeah, I did a lot of research work on my study abroad, and I feel like a fucking idiot.
Yeah, you fucked up. You did.
Yep. I mean, it was a party school, but I did way too much work. Don't work. That's not what study abroad is for.
It has not gone well, but, like, I believe that Scott Frost has done a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And why? To what end? Shouldn't have. You shouldn't have done all that work.
Never try.
I mean, if he had worked less, they would lose by, like, six instead of three. They would lose by eight instead of seven.
Right, but he'd, like, get more free time. He'd get to go on more walks. He'd get more sleep.
He could,
Well, he's about to have a lot of free time.
Prepare for the end of days.
Sure. Sure.
He could do all of those things. He could also get absolutely shithoused by Clay Helton. Clay Helton. That's the best part. Pick the form of the destroyer. Name the way you want to go, okay? Clay Helton.
Clay Helton did one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen in a football game in this game.
And because of this, I know what he looks like.
At one point in the fourth quarter, Georgia Southern is driving. They don't end up scoring on this drive. They throw a bad pick. But he's trying to sort of – they're getting ready to go for it on, like, fourth and one. And he wants to, like, let a little bit more clock run out. There's still, like, 7 minutes left in the game or something. So he tells the ref, hey, I'm going to call timeout when the clock gets to one, when the play clock gets to one. But for whatever fucking reason, the ref calls it when the play clock's at, like, 10. And Clay Helton lights into this poor fucking referee like he's just insulted every person Clay Helton has ever loved.
It's so great because, like, at USC, you never really got... Clay Helton is a capital B, capital C ball coach.
Yes.
He's from Gainesville, right?
Program. Right. He pronounces it program.
He's a program guy, and you never really got to see that side of him at USC, and it came out guns fucking blazing tonight.
It was amazing. Because
it was so fun.
And like, you're used to seeing coaches yell at refs because they think the ref has interpreted something wrong. But, like, I really want to know what the ref was saying back. Because I hope it was just like, well, I don't fucking care. You said timeout, so I'll call it what I want. I'm not your fucking errand boy. I'm not going to look at the clock.
Ooh.
If you wanted to call it at one, you call it then. Stupid
and
ass.
To be clear, this is an interaction. Listen, every podcast is somebody's first podcast. If you're new to the sport, this is a not uncommon interaction between coaches and referees.
Correct.
This happens all the time.
Correct.
This is not some completely, like, out-of-pocket request that he was making of this official.
Oh, I just remembered one other funny thing today. This is a super far backup. I apologize.
Oh, no. Disorder in the show.
The best thing, let's call it the eighth best thing about App State beating A&M when A&M was ranked super high, is that they have to talk about Michigan. They just have to. And it's like, Michigan, you know, won the Big Ten last year, went to the playoff, but it's like, nope, sorry, gotta say it. There it is. There's the graphic.
Oh, shit. You're associated with Texas A&M now.
This is the first time someone's pooped their pants in the Vatican since Michigan did it back in 2007.
They might have.
They were
there like a year ago.
It was so long ago. Why do people keep talking? I don't know. You put your pants in the Vatican. We got to talk about it.
I think App State's thing is they're beating all the Power Five war dad schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So like Virginia Tech. I mean, you lose to worse teams than App State already, but you're next.
Biggest stadiums in the biggest stadiums we have.
Yeah, big buildings.
One of them is called Big House. We didn't name it that.
Big ass buildings only for App State.
We would have named it that because it's very descriptive, but. Come, help us help you.
Who's on App State schedule? Let's have some fun.
Oh, yes, yes.
Who's Open about to up. Die?
Open it up.
Who fucked up bad?
Who was it? Did you guys see Torrey Smith today beseeching people my on God. Twitter to stop adding App State to their schedule?
2023 App State at Mac Brown's North Carolina Tar Heels.
Hey, Gene Chizik at that point.
Go home.
Thank you.
Gene, get out of there.
At Clemson 2024. 2025, NC State and South Carolina. You fucking morons.
Jesus Christ, y'all.
What is wrong with y'all?
When the Carolina schools do it, I understand it more and less.
Much less.
But
much less. Because, like, you not only do you know this team, you are probably recruiting, quote, fingers against this team. You know, it shouldn't be a challenge to recruit against
them
unless they beat you.
It's not like you don't know the recruiting ground, and it's also not like North Carolina is enough of a concentrated recruiting ground to, you know, it's not like going into Ohio, right? Like, there are talented players in North Carolina, but it's not like one of the top five major concentrated areas of football talent in the country. So you're going in for recruits who are already relatively, I know they have great players, relatively thin on the ground for what you're gaining in return.
When you stop and think about it, North Carolina just has way too many fucking football schools. It's like, guys, this is just absurd. This is like meeting somebody who has 14 kids now, not like back in like 1937 or something.
Yeah, where they expected like three of them to die.
Like,
right?
You should have made a different choice.
We absolutely should have. If we'd planned this out better, we would have put Wake Forest in like Louisiana.
Wisconsin.
Louisiana should not have one power conference team. Ohio should not have, you know, one team dominating a top five, top six recruiting state. We got to move Duke to Ohio.
There should be like one Mississippi school, right? We should have Mecca, Mississippi. There should just be like, yes.
Mississippi Meth Sharks.
No.
One gigantic ball of Mississippi.
You know what we can call it? One Mississippi.
Nope. I will never get on board with that plan.
Yeah, because it'd be too powerful. You fear it. Yeah.
But North Carolina's hoarding football schools, and like, it's just, there's too many.
I think it's great, though, because all of them are at least the powers are calibrated for maximum comedy. Like, what if NC State was good? Like, if we got rid of Wake and redistributed their players, and it's like, God damn it, NC State's good.
Yeah,
no one wants that.
We didn't plan for this.
I know how App State ends up on people's schedules, by the way. All right? Sometime in the dark of night at 3 a.m., an athletic director awakes, and Yosef, the mascot, in full mascot regalia, is standing there with a manila envelope in his hand.
And
he
knife
drops
in
it
the
on
other.
The bed. Right? And he drops it on the bed, and the AD picks it up, and it's them having sex with their mistress, or hitting a car and running away, right? Documentation of the time they killed someone on like a dark country road and got away with it. That's what it is. And normally ADs get that kind of stuff all the time. They're like, I don't care. Everyone knows I'm an A-ball.
That kind of stuff all the time.
Right? But getting it from somebody as haunting as Yosef, the bearded mascot for Appalachian State, it just hits different.
Yeah.
I hope it's not even evidence. I hope it's just an envelope with a letter inside that just says, Yosef knows.
Yosef knows. Yosef saw everything.
What is
that
Yosef
would
know?
Scare the shit out of
what
you.
Is
that
Yosef
would be the
know?
Scariest thing that ever happened to you.
Play us in football if you want to find out what Yosef knows.
Yeah. Yosef knows that your defense sucks and will be on the field for 41 minutes.
Yeah, like A&M going and scheduling App, I'm like, well, that was stupid, but it's not like the dumbest thing you could possibly do. Like, I think with A&M, that's more like, you know, scheduling Houston or something. You know, somebody local, you should know better. But
I also, I think A&M plays Miami next.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
That was, I'm directing that sentiment towards both schools.
Which, the score, don't let the scoreboard fool you. Miami looked like garbage today.
Uh-huh.
For large stretches of that game. So there's a good garbage on garbage matchup.
No, that just means both of these teams are going to come out and be like, I'm going to show them some real cool shit. You'll see. I'll show everybody who laughed at me how fucking cool I am on this skateboard.
Since when does Jimbo make emotional decisions? That's not fair.
It's despicable that you would say that. That we have to sit here and talk about this, Holly.
Ryan Nanny, I can't believe you would accuse me of doing a crime.
I will say, I don't. After today, I don't believe that Texas A&M is paying players.
They bought every player in that class. I hope you kept the receipts!
Can we, just in case... The electronic wiring that is holding this show together fails us. Can we make sure we spend a few minutes on Notre Dame losing to Marshall today? I just don't want to overlook that happened.
I want to, Jason, can I return this back to you? Because you were as the spiritual leader of our pack in most things, you were also the spiritual leader. Well, no, I take it back. This was a schism. This was me and Jason against Ryan and Spencer, right? Ryan and Spencer intended to maintain their hatred of Notre Dame, and Jason and I had decided to relinquish that hatred with the departure of Brian Kelly. Jason, I regret to inform you and the court that I found today's Notre Dame loss funny as shit, despite my affection for Marcus Freeman.
Oh, sure. I have no ill will for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. I hate that number 8 by their name. You put a number 8 by a team's name, and I want them to lose. So now that they no longer have a number by their name...
That was cordial of them.
I have no problem with Notre Dame, now that they're 0-2 already this year.
It did lead to a very funny moment. Ohio State beat Arkansas State easily today, and in his post-game press conference, Ryan Day was like, well, you know, we've already beat a top-5 team. So I think we've already been tested. I think this was before the Notre Dame result was final.
Yeah.
Oh,
mm-hmm. Man. That is a boy. That perfectly illustrates the problem with using rankings at time of kickoff. A thing I just cannot stand when like media stories do it, or like even more common is like an SID doing it. We've beaten 8 top 10 teams this year. Mm-hmm. Okay, one of them's ranked right now. So, like, nothing has ever illustrated it better than that.
We beat every team that everyone was absolutely butt wrong about. Those are our pelts.
We beat the biggest liars.
Yeah.
Is 0-2 Notre Dame going to stay in the top 25?
No.
Oh, yeah. Surely.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah.
I will bet anything you want that they will not.
You're saying they'll drop all the way from 8 to not ranked.
Poof, they are gone. Yes.
Yeah, they'll be gone. Somebody will vote for them, but they'll be gone.
They will get a vote.
I will put them as visibly appearing and also receiving votes.
Yeah. Mortimer Claprot of the Terre Haute Tribune, right? Will be like, I thought they did well. And they'll put a vote.
Well, I think what you'll see is you'll see a few votes, because you see this every single week from people who just didn't notice the score. So,
hey,
like, someone...
ABC. I almost didn't notice the score until there were, like, 4 minutes left because...
Chad Pennington's a good quarterback. It's an honor to lose to him.
There will be a voter who just... they were playing Marshall. I'm not even going to look. Or they didn't even know who they were playing. Uh-huh. Notre Dame will get voted. One reporter will vote Notre Dame. 8. Everyone else will get rid of them.
Can I also celebrate the joy of listening to Jason Garrett being asked to verify if a team was fucking up? That is delightful. That Jason,
I didn't
listening
know
Jason
that was
Garrett.
Jason Garrett for most of the game.
Yeah, the Jack Collinsworth curse. By the way, Jack
it
Collinsworth.
Is, today was his first game.
It's like in a police procedural when you go to a serial killer and like, do you recognize the pattern here? What can you tell me about this football fuck up?
Go straight to Princeton Lecter.
I feel like Hannibal would send this one back to the kitchen.
Like, if you just, by the question I would always ask, I thought a team was just twiddling and wasting its promise. I would be like, go get Garrett. He'll recognize it.
He'll know.
Yeah.
The richest team lost.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett time.
That's our man.
Jason Garrett must return to explain the rich to the poor.
I like that LSU losing last week, Notre Dame losing this week. It's Brian Kelly just losing every week is all I'm seeing.
Do you think Jason Garrett thinks Marshall's a service academy? He's like, Raylan Givens played there once upon a spell.
Yeah, but
the
he thinks...
The Argent Marie!
To lose to the school of our nation's lawmen is no shame at all.
He thinks Marshall is a service academy for the fast food industry. That's what he thinks.
Oh my God, dude.
It kind of is.
That's what he thinks. I didn't say that's what they are. I'm saying Jason that's what Jason Garrett that. Thinks. He's a Princeton
said
grad.
It. I said it. I went to a commuter school. Who gives a shit? Degrees are fake.
You can reach Jason at Bud Elliott.
Randy Moss chose Marshall because they have superior academics to Notre Dame and they're better at football.
Listen, George O'Leary agrees that degrees are fake. That's how he got the Notre Dame job.
Exactly. Degrees are bullshit.
And then lost it.
I would like to mention one more game before this sunsets and
just
we one. Completely lose it. Okay.
What do you mean before we sunset?
Just yes, one? Before we sunset.
Is it Louisville UCF?
No, we had some. I wanted to go over.
I put that in there, but we don't have to talk about it.
No one ever has to talk about that game, ever.
I have a tiny game that I want to play, but we can save it to the end.
I was going to ask, while we're piling up the bodies and filing the paperwork tonight, there were some FCS victories. We had some FCS upsets, did we not?
Numerous.
Four.
Four?
It was four mm-hmm. when we started recording.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's four.
I thought it was two. Good nope. God.
which two did you know of?
Let's see. Holy Cross.
Yep.
Holy Cross beat Buffalo.
Right. Which God, that's a tough pull for our friend Maurice Linguist.
Especially tough when your former coach is beating West Virginia.
Yep.
Aww. Yeah. Again, that is coach Maurice Linguist, and I knew about Weber State over Utah State.
Trashed Utah State.
Mm-hmm. Spencer, you are missing the glory of Incarnate Word.
In so many ways, yes.
Yep.
Which, God bless them, because they had to write their full name out on the Chiron for the first time maybe ever.
As well as, it's a directional. I'm scrolling and scrolling. It's a directional who got in a long thing with a MAC team.
Oh, and Idaho was given Indiana the
Eastern Kentucky Zoo.
Yes.
Eastern Kentucky beat Bowling Green in seven overtimes.
Yes.
Seven overtimes.
Jesus
including
God.
Bowling Green tried to end it with a hook and ladder to a lineman. The play went very, very badly. If you've ever seen a worker lose a refrigerator off of a pallet as it tipped over, that's exactly what it looked like.
That paints a picture.
Yeah, it looked like a fridge falling off of a pallet. That's how well the play went for them. So congratulations to all the FCS brethren. Hey, you know who else got their first victory? I see in the comments. We haven't shouted anybody out. Manfair, Virginia Tech grad. Virginia Tech got their first win under Brett Pry tonight. That's right. Trashed them last week. They got their first win. Hell yes. Go Hokies.
Congrats to the key play and to all of our many other Virginia Tech brothers and sisters out there. I want to talk about Texas Tech Houston for 1 second.
Okay.
Please do.
Because Ryan and I were playing a little game earlier tonight with Brian Floyd that I would like to now put to Jason and Spencer. Can you name Texas Tech's head coach?
Is his last name McGuire?
Oh, I'm asking. Can you name Texas Tech's head coach?
Oh, I can't remember his first name.
It's probably Matt Wells.
It's not.
It's not Matt Wells, but it could be.
Anyway, here's an email. For some reason, I am on Texas Tech's like booster club email list, and I just never sign off because the graphics work are too great. They made a big, huge deal on the broadcast, as they should, about all the investment that's been made into Texas Tech football recently. And that reminded me that I don't think I ever told you guys about this fundraising email I got from Texas Tech back in July. The subject line is Texas Tech announces $200 million investment into football. Here is the letter, and I'm going to read it without skipping any parts. On Monday night, Texas Tech Athletics announced a $200 million investment into Red Raider football. As a valued Red Raider fan, we wanted to make sure you saw this historic announcement by clicking the link above. New paragraph. In addition to major gifts for transformational projects like this, we need all Red Raiders to be members of the Red Raider Club. Financial support of the Red Raider Club annual fund provides for all academic and other vital resources for other 400 student athletes throughout the year. I don't think you should pair those two things together.
No, it's
when you're asking people for money.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Hey, we got $200 million. You want to give us some more?
It's fine.
Like, yeah. I respect it, but I've never seen it smashed together like that in a single fundraising email.
Spencer, you were correct. His name is McGuire. His name is Joey McGuire, because the only two professions in the United States where you can be a grown man named Joey are football coach and boy band member. That's it. Everything else, you're Joe or Joseph or...
Joe McGuire.
Mm-hmm. JoJo!
JoJo. Yep. JoJo. Yeah, no, that's much better.
If a slightly depleted BYU number 21 beats number 9 Baylor in the lock-in, that does mm-hmm. count towards the Blood Week.
Oh, absolutely.
The Vegas had it as like, but fuck it, man. It's 1 a.m. We're counting it.
Texas, why couldn't you? Because you're Texas, that's why.
Yeah.
I'm also going to state for the record here, by the way, that though it does not count in any way towards any ranking of any consideration of anything resembling quality, but Mississippi State and Arizona playing to a weird score, that's just icing on this cake. This is crazy.
Are they done?
Oh, no. We're only at halftime.
Okay. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
I just put that game on for funsies, like right as we started to record, and like 12 weird things happened the second I turned it on.
And yes, by the way, also in progress, Fresno State 23-21 over Oregon State at the moment. So the god, Jay Kaner, king of late night, currently 21-30 for 236 yards. He's going to win because he's Jay Kaner and you're not. That's why.
You know what I really appreciate about this Blood Week with a little reflection?
The blood.
I feel like in a lot of Blood Weeks, it becomes very... conference heavy. It's like, oh my god, all these Pac-12 teams lost, or oh my god, all these Big 12 whatever. This felt more evenly distributed. Like,
I think, well, this one was conference heavy because the Sun Belt dropped its big old ass on everyone else's face.
That's right.
It's big heavy conference ass.
The Sun Belt, the rest, like the official, if there was a conference that to me signified I just ate at a gas station, it would be the Sun Belt in every single way.
The Sun Belt with its like 19 mile footprint.
Like, Mississippi State should join the Sun Belt. They should just be like, yes! Fuck it. We're not going to win the SEC West, and we know we aren't, so we're going to go to the
Sun Belt. Completely unironically.
We're going to have a good time with our high school friends. We don't like any of you anyway.
This is my absolute most sincere take, is shit like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Unironically, yes.
I only want to hang out with my high school friends, sorry.
Yeah, to cut a quick promo, by the way, no Sun Belt team lost today, even if they lost. For example, Arkansas State. Ohio State's like, yeah, we kicked your ass 45-12. Yeah, but you paid for it. Mm-hmm. You paid for it, Arkansas State. Up in cash on the day, y'all, okay?
Southern Miss made money today. Georgia State made money today.
Yeah.
And normally for Ohio State to pay to beat up on people, they have to go down to the VFW Hall Wiffle Ball Tournament.
Yeah, I'm seeing nothing but W's and dollar signs throughout the entire Sun Belt scoreboard.
Exactly. Miami's like, yeah, we're back. We beat Southern Miss. Okay, first of all, you got Miami to humiliate itself again, which is amazing.
Second of all, I saw that score early. You didn't immediately beat Southern Miss.
No. You let Southern Miss hang around, and that in itself is a victory for Southern Miss, okay? Additionally, again, making that money. James Madison destroying Norfolk State.
Like they were John Quincy Adams.
That's right. ODU, hey, listen, anytime you can help burnish the reputation of East Carolina University, its most famous representative is Vince McMahon in this troubled time, you know what? That's grace. That's an act of grace.
We're counting ODU beating VTech. That is what launched the whole thing. So they're in on this too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big Ten alternate Eastern Michigan lost to the power of the Louisiana Raging Cajuns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Troy beating up on Alabama A&M.
South Alabama beat CMU.
Yeah. Conference superiority. Take that. That's a GoDaddy Bowl preview, folks.
The Sun Beast absolutely dominating shit today. Talk about them at your own risk. They will come to your door. And you'll have to pay them for it. They'll be like, listen, I'm going to kick your ass, and you're going to give me a $1 million check.
Next week, we got Game Days at App State. The damn Troy game is the Game Day game. This is incredible, man. Season of the Sun Belt.
Iowa, join the Sun Belt.
It's the only way. We don't want that shit down here. We don't want that shit down here. Also, it's far. The Sun Belt, they travel to games by bicycle. That's how far they're apart all their teams are.
I was like, we got penny farthings.
Pass this test. Eat every item on a Bojangles menu. Conquer this mountain. And you may join Iowa. I would be like, oh, it's too spicy. Oh.
I just now realized not only did Virginia Tech schedule ODU, Virginia did also. Everyone in that entire part of the world, everyone in the mid-Atlantic is stupid, is what I'm learning from scheduling.
Yeah, that's right. You know what ODU is? ODU is? They're taking their wealth and making them look common. So they should be kings of Virginia. That's right. One game at a time.
And that is a podcast.
That's the whole thing. I think we've hit the end of the road here. Thank you for joining us for what was officially proclaimed a blood week.
Stop asking us if it's a blood. Hey, follow Is This Blood Week on Twitter.
Yeah. Going forward, the shorthand is if you have to ask, it's not yet. And that was legit because it wasn't until Georgia Southern put away Nebraska Correct. For just a little spicing.
Oh,
on
I
top
thought it was it, Illinois beating UVA, but I'm glad we cleared that.
Well, yeah, they were neck and neck.
If Bama had not, Bama ruined everything as usual. This would have been much less of a question if we had a little more action on the top 10. I say this as somebody who's not in charge of it at all. Don't at me about it.
Speaking of a little more action, Illinois 2-1.
All right, now we're definitely done.
Now we're definitely done.
He's getting the Iowa job. You know it. You fucking know it. You fucking know it.
End it. Can't wait. It's going to be great.